Hello, and welcome to everyone listening to the Written to Melanin podcast, the place where you come to get your weekly dose of melanated creativity. I'm your host, CM Lockhart, an author of fantasy books featuring black girls who aren't all that nice, and the owner of the Melanin Library, an online database of books written by black authors. And in this space, I share with you everything I've learned on my journey as a black and indie author. I'm glad you're here. And today, you guys, is a special episode because I am so excited to have Demetrius Frazier on the podcast with us. He was born in Queens, New York, and has spent his adult life in the Richmond, Virginia area. He is a literacy advocate, entrepreneur, and public speaker. An avid reader, his passion for books and diversity in books inspired him to create the national book club, Black Men Read, and to establish the book retailer, Resist Booksellers in Petersburg, Virginia. Demetrius holds a bachelor's in marketing from Virginia Union University and an MBA in strategic leadership from the University of Richmond. He currently serves as vice president and chief learning officer of a $4 billion manufacturing company, and he is married to the love of his life, Selena, and is the proud father of four beautiful children. He loves his family, community, and his God, and he is on the podcast, and y'all have no idea how excited I am for him to be here. Welcome, Demetrius.
Well, thank you. Just want to say that was the first time I've ever heard it written out loud. And it is really overwhelming a little bit because I'm not a celebrity. So I'm not used to things like that. So that was fun. Thank you. Thank you for being my first. Pretty much. That was fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, when I was reading through it, if you guys are listening to the podcast, then just a little bit of context about how I know Demetrius, because I need to give him his flowers while he's on the podcast, because as an indie author, getting your book into bookstores is a hurdle. It is a challenge. And I have to give Demetrius his flowers because not only did he stock We Are the Origin, he also stocks We Are the Dying Gods. And he also like has them on display. It's not like, oh, by the way, we have like one copy in the back hidden, like can't find it. And I have always been treated with the utmost like appreciation and respect every time I've gone to his bookstore, and I absolutely stan Resist Booksellers. So if you're listening to this and you are within a drive of Petersburg, absolutely go there and support his bookstore.
We'd love to. No, thank you for that. That was it's actually part of our mission. So we have a heart for book clubs and indie authors. So we wanted to kind of like spell it out that no matter what we do, we keep that embedded. And I'm glad that we were able to get you into the store. You came for our grand opening. You had an event there, you know, it's been great.
Yeah. And I actually wanted to ask you about that because I have so many questions here that I just kind of want to get into. But, you know, you mentioned that that's part of your mission. So one, as an indie author, especially a Black indie author, I appreciate that, the intentional inclusion. Right. But also, like, what is the mission for Resist Booksellers? Because obviously it did not just pop up out of nowhere. Like, I doubt that you just woke up one day and was like, yep, I'm going to open a bookstore.
Open a bookstore in the hardest industry known to mankind.
Right.
I'm just doing it. Like, no, our mission and our path here with Resist started basically from Black Men Read. We wanted to, you know, like encourage Black men to read more. And so, you know, that's a hurdle in itself. That's a different podcast episode that may take 2 hours, but we really wanted to encourage them to go out and get the books too. So we were sending these brothers out to Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. They were going on Amazon, and they were having trouble finding the books that we were suggesting. And I'm like, man, these dudes just giving excuses, man. So right. I walk into Barnes & Noble. I'm like, if I had no idea where this stuff was, how could I find this book? Now, you know, as an author, and you're a reader as well, you read books. When you got to go find a black book that's not Michelle Obama's book and not the huge names that's got all the publicity and dollars behind it, you got to go to the back. The nonfiction is usually in social sciences on the bottom shelf, and sometimes it's not even on the shelf. And so Resist for us was a way to kind of flip it 180. So we said, all right, what are these things that we don't like about Barnes & Noble and other places? And let's just do the opposite. So for us, when you come in our store, you hook a quick right to get into the store, and boom, there's independent authors. Boom, there's black authors. The next cubbyhole is book club stuff. So if you're in a black book club, there's the book. You don't have to look very far. Now, mind you, our entire store is about 85, 90% black authors. So all those face outs, all, you know what I'm talking about? Like, to have your book facing out, not like everybody got to do this all day, is a thing, right? And we just wanted to give that experience to black authors.
Like, you don't understand. Like, hearing that, first of all, because, you know, as an author and a reader, like, it's something I'm passionate about. But also, you know, I run the Melanin Library. Like, I'm all about supporting black authors, because part of the reason that came into existence is because it's so difficult to find books by black authors if you do not know what you're looking for. And even more so if you're like, I'm just looking for something to read. It can be such a difficult thing because, like you said, if it's not a book that has all of the marketing dollars behind right. it, if they are not the chosen black author at their publication, you're probably not going to walk into a Books A Million, a Barnes & Noble, or any bookstore, indie or trad, and see it on the front table. You're not going to see it facing out. You're going to either have to know it's there, right. or you're going to have to go in and you're going to have to order it. And that can be really disheartening, you know, as a reader, to be like, hey, your experience that's included in this book isn't something that we put on display, yeah. right? But also,
and we're talking
as an
about
author.
Not February.
Right. Any month outside of February. But even then, let's be real, a lot of the books in February aren't even like from this era. No. It's like that's when Toni Morrison gets dust off. That's James when their Baldwin, eyes gets their Lisa eyes Hayes. Are watching God gets dust off.
Yep.
You know, it's not like, oh, this book that came out last year or this year, you know, is on the front table. And it gets so frustrating to be relegated to that. And so when I saw my book outward facing on the shelf, I was so like absolutely floored because I never thought that would be like a reality, especially yeah. like as an indie author. I'm still reeling about it, honestly. Like,
well,
that's
I think
the thing
about
that happened.
Why you're reacting that way, because you never had a shot anywhere else, right? Maybe at another bookstore, maybe another black-owned bookstore. Indie bookstores tend to be more creative in this space. But the yeah. fact that you got 20 Barnes & Noble between where you live and my store, and the opportunity to have a face out consistently, not just when you're there for this book signing, is just not common. And so I think that's where indie bookstores have a role to play and actually a responsibility to kind of flip those narratives.
And I kind of wish that more indie bookstores took that approach because, like you said, between here, for those of you listening to the podcast or, you know, tuning in for the first time, if you don't know, I live in North Carolina. Resist Books is in Petersburg, Virginia. I don't live anywhere near Petersburg, but whenever I have a book release or if I have an event or anything, Demetrius is literally one of the first people that I tap on to be like, hey, do you want a book? And is it possible to set up an event? And I drive 7 to 8 hours out of my way to go to his bookstore because the respect there that I receive as an author is completely unmatched. And I have tried going to, you know, indie bookstores that are closer to me because, you know, closer. But the energy is completely different because I feel like even within indie book spaces, you know, you still have to talk about, you know, a black-owned bookstore versus right. a non-black-owned bookstore. The experience is vastly, vastly different. And, you know, talking about the big box stores, right? You know, Books A Million and Barnes & Noble, as an indie author, I'm not going to say it's impossible to get in there because they will stock your book online. But if you want your book like housed in store, that's a very difficult process to get through. Barnes & Noble, I don't even think has a process for that. But Books A Million, you have to send them you have to fill out an application, send them some money and send them a free book. And they'll be like, we'll decide whether or not we want it on our shelves or not.
You gotta send them money?
Yeah, it's a fee.
Okay.
And it's just kind of like, yeah, I tried it for We Are the Origin and they ultimately rejected it because they don't tell you why. They were just like, it's not a good fit. And we'll send the book that you sent us off to, like, I think they send free books to the military or whatever. And they're like, we'll send your book off to the military. And I was like, okay.
I'm losing little points from Books A Million. I got one around the corner. I like the staff there, but.
Right. And that's the thing. Okay, like, the staff is usually really cool, but it's out of their control. You know, they just work there. And the systems are not I'll say they're not in favor if you are not a traditionally published author. So, you know, again, going to Resist Booksellers and seeing the diversity of books and seeing so many different types and so many different types of people coming through and walking through. And it's such a beautiful space. And, you know, to see my book shelved not only next to books that I have like seen, like N.K. Jemisin, right? But also you have other indie authors. Like you also, when I went, you know, you had also Daniel Allen up there. You had D.L. White. And it's just like, it's nice to see other indie authors actually receive love or whatever. But I could harp on this, but.
Yeah, and right now I can visually see where your book is. You're in the cubby hole with a children's writer. She wrote a book around parents, mixed parents doing black girls' hair. You're right next to two poets, a self-help author, all local, right?
Still there. Look at me being included.
Now what's crazy is, and I can't get into Books A Million's process, I'm not here to slander them, but how did not want We Are The Origin? You were, the book was sending people to the gods, like almost every page.
I mean,
I was in. I was like, oh, this is how we starting. Okay, got me. I'm in. I don't understand that process. Now, I will say this, and if you have any indie authors who are listening to this, this is a bookstore owner giving a little tad of advice.
Which I was going to ask for, so go for it.
Your book, if you're going to be like what Chelsea said, right next to an N.K. Jemisin, right next to Octavia Butler, because, you know, those shelves in our store are really close to each other, and I put you face out, do some work on your cover. You know, have a good quality of the book itself. Because I'm putting you right next to them. And mm-hmm. if those things don't match up, and somebody can say, well, I can tell that was done on somebody's printer or that was published. Like, that's why We Are The Origin worked. You guys have seen the cover. It's a beautiful cover. It stands out. It's green. It's, you know, it's got that like pop to it. I can put that next to, you know, fifth season, right? And I'm like, no one sees a difference. They see quality versus quality. So don't skip the steps, right? Don't just try to get your book out so fast that you don't have the right work. I've seen where like the type in the book is a little off to the page. Those little nuances make a difference, because guess what somebody said? Oh, I don't know this book. Let me pick it up. They mm-hmm. open the jacket. They look through it, thumb through it, and they're like, oh, I see that the font is a little twisted,
a little wonky,
right? And they see those things and they're like, nope, putting it right back, and they're not gonna try it anymore. So just little things like that can help you too, and those are things that have nothing to do with you having $1 million budget. You just got to make sure you're a part of the process of your printing as well, and then that way when I put it up there, there's no hurdle for that book being sold.
Oh yeah, and with We Are The Origin, I can definitely say that was one of the goals that I personally had when I was creating it. I was like, I want to make sure that to the best of my ability, I never want anyone to pick it up and be like, oh, this is an indie book by default. Like, right, it is right. An indie book, but I'd never wanted it to be like, oh, I'm not going to give it a try because it's indie or it looks like it's indie. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that to be derogatory, because that's not how I mean it. But I think we all have an understanding of like when you look at a book and you can tell that it's a do-it-yourself project. Yeah. And it's just kind of like, I'm always a huge advocate for indie authors, you know, striving to meet that unspoken standard, right? With the cover, with the font, with the text, with just the interior, you know, actually having, you know, your copyright page and your half page title and your dedication. Like, those are little things that, no, they may not be a huge thing for the reader. A lot of times they're going to skip over those pages anyway. But having it and being like, okay, when they go to pick up another traditionally published book, those things are going to be there. And if they're absent, a reader is going to notice. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that. And I do have one author who, if you guys have been listening to the podcast at all this year, y'all probably know what I'm going to say and who I'm going to mention. But her name is Tatiana OB. These are her books back here. She writes black fantasy. So just want to put her on your radar.
Put on the radar. Like, look.
Yeah. literally one of the best books that I have ever read in my adulthood. Like, I love them so much. I read both of them like back to back, and I don't do that. But
and I will say this: I don't trust everybody's opinion. Full disclosure. And everyone that you have said that you liked, whether it was a book, anime, or something, has been spot on. So I'm gonna accept on face value that that is fire, because if you said it's fire, it's fire. I feel like you would have told me if it wasn't, or wouldn't have mentioned it at all.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you guys listen to this podcast, y'all know that I say this very frequently, and I stand by this. I am not a very nice person. It's a facade for the internet, and I stand by that, right? So I'm definitely the type of person where it's just like, we can be cool, but I very much separate like my author friends versus like professionally people that I would bring into rooms and be like, hey, this book, this product needs to be talked about more, right? Like, those are two completely different things. I can love you as a person and then not really deal with you as like an author, right? That's just kind of how the world works. And but like I said, Tatiana Obi, Bones to the Wind and Dragging Your Bones, she's a dope person, but her books are amazing. There's something that I haven't read, and I have been raving about her for the last, basically since I read her books. And it storytelling wise, she does something with her books that I don't see a lot of people doing, that I wish more people did, because her books don't cater to a given mold. And I just really enjoyed that. And it was just so unapologetically what it was. It wasn't trying to be anything other than what it was. And I just loved it. And the writing and also the quality of her books are amazing too. She wrote Sista Samurai back there as well. But all that being said, if you're listening to this, Tatiana was also on the podcast. So you can go listen to that episode if you want to hear me rant and rave about it. Also, I did a full book review. But while you are here, Demetrius, I did want to ask, like, one of the things that I know you kind of have to deal with is obviously, like you said at the beginning of this, you're in one of the hardest industries to exist in, because I don't know if you guys are listening to this know this, there's not a whole lot of money in books.
No.
There, it's very difficult to make a profit selling books. Selling any type of physical product in 2024 is honestly a difficult endeavor. So how are you managing that versus, you know, the Books a Millions, the Barnes and Nobles, but also, you know, you guys sell physical books. You don't deal a whole lot in ebooks and audiobooks, right?
No. So great question. Thank you for giving that airtime, because I think people think, oh man, look at y'all. Y'all got to be making a ton of money in here. Man, I hate to disappoint you, but the way the bookstore industry works is they give you the book or sell you the book for margin. I get it at a discount that you would get, but in everything that I got to do, I got to fit it in that box of the margin they gave me.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where it gets a little wonky. I still have a building. I still have employees. I still have taxes I got to pay and all that good stuff, right? Mm-hmm. What happens is the book industry goes in waves. There'll be a month where I swear to you, there's not a person walking through the door on the weekday. Right. They come on Saturday, they stroll, they buy one book. I can't keep the lights on with just that. And so that's why you see bookstores do events. You'll see bookstores trying to get into businesses, support conferences, things like that. Because we need those bulk sales to make up for when we don't have the traffic in the store. It's even worse for niche bookstores. So like, we are a niche bookstore. We don't sell everything. There's no Colleen Hoover on our shelf. There's no Stephen King. There's no all those ones that's, you know, if you look at the New York Times bestseller, they're like 1, 3, 7, and 8. We don't sell any of those because we sell black books. Now, we would love to see black books be 1, 3, 7, and 8, but they're not. And so those huge bulk buying items from individuals doesn't happen as much here. Kennedy Ryan's book, the latest one, did pretty well. I'm trying to think, Viola Davis's book, when it did really well. But if we don't have those events, that's when we make some money. So when an indie author comes in and they're like, oh, I have this fantastic book, I actually spread my arm and say, look, I got nothing but fantastic books. I don't put trash books on the shelf. The thing that we got to work on is how to get
your book in the hands of people so that they can see it, like it, and buy it. And that's the tough part for people to understand, because they think I'm being mean because, you know, they're not helping indies. But I got to sell. At the end of the day, we're a book seller, and we try to do that. But also try to manage, like, expectations. So just because your book is fantastic doesn't mean people who have never seen your book are just going to flood the streets and come buy your book. That's not how it works. I wish it was. That way Chelsea would be a millionaire. Fantastic book, right? If that were the case,
let's speak that into existence.
We'd all be millionaires. She would have a team behind you. There would be a makeup artist over there. There'd be a lighting person over there. It's just not how things work. And so what we try to do is keep our costs low. We have some great employees, and they work really, really good hours and try to be flexible. We have a really good lease structure. So the building is probably our number one cost, second cost other than the books. And so if you can manage those three and then get all those other opportunities. So that's why you'll see us, like Ramika Bingham Risher will be here this Saturday. We're supporting S.A. Cosby's event on the 23rd of April. Just try to do those things to kind of get bulk item sales as much as possible. Here's the challenge, though, and this is where your listeners can help indie bookstores. There is no obstacle or hurdle for your local library or your local school system buying their books through the bookstore. They're buying books for their libraries from the same publishers. They're just going through Ingram. They're going through some big distributor that's taking all of that tax money and just all that sales and doing it in a different state. So I'm in Virginia. Ingram's not in Virginia. Ingram's in Tennessee and other states. If they buy it through us, we can give them a discount, but that tax money stays here. I hire local talent. So here's what I would love for your listeners to do. Ask your library, like, hey, there's a bookstore right down the street. They sell indie authors like Chelsea. Y'all, do y'all buy from them? And their answer is going to be no. And then now your question should be why? Why would you not support a local business who can give you some different flavor than Ingram? Because Ingram's got a million authors. How about you work with them? I took over your book to the public library here, which is like half a mile. I was like, hey, great book. Do you like it? They're like, oh man, never heard of this one. We'll buy two copies.
There you go.
It was literally that easy. So if the individual start doing that too, because you can do that as an individual, not even through the bookstore, you can go in and ask for Chelsea's book at the library, but ask them the bigger question. Are you partnered up with a local literary establishment to help you? That will help the bookstore because they have that good foundational business. It will help the library because they get something that they probably couldn't have found in the first place. And then the whole ecosystem works better because now local employees are being hired by the bookstore and we're supporting the local community.
I'm really glad that you brought that up on so many fronts because, you know, on the other side of that, being an author, right, especially one who I like to think that, you know, I try my best to get my book out as far as I can. But, you know, there are still limits, especially when you're an individual. Like you said, there's no team other than, you know, Ben is here. Shout out to Ben.
Yeah, but, shout out to Ben. Ben is super talented. Yeah. Y'all need to hire Ben. Well, hire Ben. Is Ben for hire? I don't know.
I mean, it depends on what you want him to do, but maybe we all hustle in this good money economy. Involved,
right?
You know. Yeah. But on a serious note, it's like there's not a team behind me, right? So it's just like whenever I talk to other authors, because one of the things that I do is I offer coaching services. So it's like, hey, if you are trying to get your book further, if you're trying to, you know, reach a traditional publishing level of quality with your book, this is what I did. This is what I've learned. These are the mistakes that you are going to want to avoid, right? And one of the things that I always tell other authors is that, you know, there is so much to marketing, right? Because like you said, it's not just going to a bookstore and being like, yay, I got my book in the bookstore. Okay, that's only half the battle. You still have to get people to go purchase it from the bookstore. You still have to get people seeing it and wanting to pick it up, and that word of mouth. Because, you know, best case scenario is your book gets into the bookstore, people buy it, and then they tell their friends that, hey, I went to this bookstore and got this book, and then they send them to the bookstore to go get more books, and then that increases the demand for your book, right? But it's like, if you never get that word of mouth, you know, then people aren't going to, the bookstore isn't going to restock your book. And it's the same thing with Ingram, right? They have lists and stuff because, you know, I'm technically distributed with Ingram Spark, right? So technically, the library that was like, hey, they never heard of it, my book is technically in that list for them to purchase.
And they order from Ingram, so.
Right. But the thing is, Ingram has so many books. And if you're not paying to be at the top of that list or paying to be in that specific catalog that's going out to libraries, which they, you know, they offer it, but it's multiple hundreds of dollars to be included in that list for the off chance that somebody might pick it, because there are still hundreds of books in that listing. Yep. You would pay close to $300 just to have a possible chance of being seen, right? And sometimes that works, but, you know, there are other factors that go into things that have to be considered. So I'm really glad that you brought that up, because it's like, as an indie author, you have to be an advocate of your book and an advocate of your indie bookstores, who are, let's be real here, they're going to be the ones that are going to support you, and an advocate of your libraries. Because one thing that I've kind of seen is a lot of authors on the internet kind of complaining when readers get their books from the library, which to me is absolutely insane. Because, you know, if the library buys your book, they buy it at full price. You know, when bookstores buy your book, they buy it at a discount. Yep. So it's slightly different in that way, but it's also kind of like, why are you discouraging people from reading your book? Because that word of mouth is what's going to get people going to bookstores to buy your book. And it has to all work together in the same ecosystem. And I want more people supporting indie books, indie bookstores, and, you know, specifically Resist Booksellers, because, like I said, I've had the mostly pleasure, a lot of sometimes misfortune, of interacting with, you know, different bookstores. And it's just like, there are very few people who are actually passionate about what they are doing and consistently. Like, it'll open up on a dream, right? But then reality sinks in and it's not quite as fun anymore. And like you said, the idea starts with, we're going to support Black authors, but it very quickly migrates to, we're going to have the Stephen Kings and the Colleen Hoovers, because this is what brings in the traffic.
I need to make the rent. Look.
You know, and that's a very real thing that I think as a society as a whole, we should probably like evaluate, because it's just like, why is it that Black books in general are not being displayed, just made aware of in the way that these other books are? Because I'll be real with you, and this is my podcast, so I can say what I want. I'm not speaking for Demetrius. This is just my opinion. Colleen Hoover is not even that good, you guys. Like, it is really just trauma on trauma on trauma with some sparkly covers. Like, y'all are wild.
Colleen Hoover, though, and this is why I respect her, she understands the formula.
Oh, yeah, she does. She understands the marketing, too.
On a 200-page book, New York Times bestseller. It could be trash, but she understands the formula. That's why we don't carry her, because we don't put trash on the shelf. And then two, it doesn't match with our audience. Like, there are people who are looking for, like, the next great book. I have never in my life heard anybody refer to Colleen Hoover's books as great.
Yeah, Colleen Hoover, Sarah J. Maas, there are like a whole slew of authors who are really popular, but they're not going to win any literary awards being amazing. And I think you also hit on something that makes it difficult. So if you are listening to this and you are an indie author, it's just something to keep in mind, not anything to scare you, but something to keep in mind, is that, you know, just like, you know, you said, Demetrius, you buy for your demographic, you buy for who is coming into your store. And I would bet if you keep 85 to 90% of the store stocked with Black authors, you're probably getting a demographic of people in who are looking for that, yep. you know, and
black,
that makes
black
it easier.
Black and white people now, just want yeah. to be clear.
So
they know what they get when they come in the store.
They know what they get when they come in the store. And so, but the same is true for a lot of other bookstores. Like, they are going to stock what they believe their demographic is. And for a lot of them, that is not going to be a Black indie author who they have never heard of. So even if you are local, even if you do go in and talk to them, even if they do agree to carry your books, because the other thing that I have to give you your flowers for and that I appreciate, because again, you know, part of the reason I loved Resist Booksellers is because, you know, having interacted with other ones, I know that the way you do things is not the way that everybody does things. And it could feel very demeaning when you walk into a bookstore and you're like, hey, you know, I'm an indie author. And specifically, if you're like, hey, I'm local and I published this book, I would like to see what would be done to get my book in the store. I have been shut down very quickly because they were like, oh, well, we don't carry indie authors because we don't buy from Amazon. And for me, I'm just like, okay, well, thank you for making assumptions about me. My book is available wide. Like, you can go through Ingram Spark on your computer right now and get in there. Then they're like, oh, really? And then it becomes a thing of, okay, I went to one bookstore and they were like, hey, we only take indie authors on consignment. And again, if you are new to the space, consignment basically means you have to buy the books, you have to give them the books, and if they sell the books, they will send you a check in the mail. If they don't, they will just donate your books and you won't hear back from them. It's very frustrating as an author to be told that, hey, if you want your book in our store, you have to pay for it. And the thing that I appreciate about you is that you never treated me as anything less than a professional. You were like, if you're an author, then I will go and it's available the way we purchase books, then that's the system that we will go through. Like, I've sold you books in person, but that was usually for like an event, yeah, or it's like,
because Ben was there.
Ben was there.
Fam, I got him in the trunk. Like, it's like, say let less, me, Ben. Take
let me tell y'all that Ben is the greatest salesman I have ever known.
Ben is fantastic. But anyway, so but yeah. to your conversation, we're always trying to work on what model works. So we have independent authors we stock inside of our store. We don't do everybody that walks in that way. We do filter, because some of them are just not good books.
Valid.
But we do that with the traditionally published as well, so that's not a big deal. The other part that's important to note is that when we do get your book in the store, we do go through like an Ingram or a place like that, right? Mm-hmm. We do also go through individuals. So we have done that. Here's where that is changing a little bit. And that is, there's like a long list of ways we got to do that. So for you, it may be direct. For this person, it may be their publisher. For this person, it may be Ingram. And it just became too much to manage. So we're very selective of who we put in the store, but we've now, and this will be introduced tomorrow. So
exclusive.
It's first time hearing it. We're doing indie author fairs in the store. So what'll happen is you as an independent author get a table, 6-foot table. And our goal as a store is to drive the traffic to the day, right? And then you just sell direct to the people that's there. We don't take a cut. You sell through your Square, Amazon, whatever you use. And that way people get to know you directly. That takes out two parts. One, the management of all of these ways in which we got to purchase the books is gone. Then the other part is how you have to financially support me is gone, right? So what we don't want to do is take your money and you have zero left. So that doesn't work. And what we don't want to do is make it where it's so hard for you to sell that, you know, you don't make anything out of it and we don't make anything out of it. So those will be announced. We're going to do those. We're going to start out this month. The first one we'll do is on Independent Bookstore Day. Mm-hmm. And so we know that's a high traffic day for us and we'll have people inside the store and they can sell. And then what we want to do is make it where it's something we do all the time. So we'll start out every 2 months. And if we get a lot of people and you know, we'll do it every month or something like that. But that'll be a good way for both parties to win and not make it where one party's winning, one party's like barely not losing. You know what I'm saying?
Literally all the things that you say are reasons why I'm literally like, it's one of those things where I'm like, it's reconfirming for me that A, it can be done like this, and B, the other places that I have been to are, I don't want to say not worth my time, but literally they do not treat authors as if they are, you know, people. They're just like, whatever. Because the fact that, you know, you're hosting a fair and you're like, hey, this is to help indie authors. It's like, it's one thing to have to like bring your own books or whatever, but it's a completely other thing when, like I said, I went to a bookstore in North Carolina that's pretty close. And I was like, hey, I'm an indie author. I just released my book. You know, I would love to be able to, you know, either be stocked in your bookstore or like how we go about seeing if I would be a good fit for you guys. And they were like, hey, we're not going to stock your book because we're a small bookstore and, you know, we only get our books, you know, from the places that we choose, essentially. And I was just like, okay, can't do anything about that. And I think I had asked about an author event as well. And they were like, but if you would like to do an event, you know, we have a form that you can fill out online. And basically you fill out the form, you would pay the fee and we'll set you up a table. You bring your own books and, you know, you can have access to our foot traffic. And I was like, wait a second. So I have to pay you. I have to bring my own books and I only get the table for an hour. So I get a card table. That's right. Like, it just felt so
Barnes & Noble does that for sure.
Now, and they were just like, we'll stick you in a corner.
For sure. I want full disclosure. I want people thinking we don't do that. If you just want to come in and you don't want any of this relationship stuff, and you just say, look, I already got my own following. I know as soon as I set up, people are coming through the door. Great. You can rent our space, right? If you don't need this, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Some people don't, right? They just got a good following. They just need an event. Mm-hmm. And so they'll come and say, hey, we want to rent the space for 2, 3, 4 hours. We want to do our author signing. We're going to have a DJ and food and all this stuff. That's cool. There's a place for that. Not everybody has that. And so that should only be one part of the offering. Is what I'm saying. And we're just trying to find whatever works the best for everybody. So it's tough. I get it. And I think there are some bookstores who don't want to try.
And I think it's also the care that is included in the conversation that makes it feel as if it's something that they're offering because they have to and not because they actually want to see you succeed or help. Or whatever. And I think that's the thing for me that's different about your bookstore. Like, again, it's just the welcoming atmosphere. Yeah. It's the, okay, you're actually wanted here. You actually are going to be supported here.
You know what helped me with that? Is I actually have author friends, independent author friends. And I actually have some in traditionally pub too. And I see a little bit of how they go about life. Right. And they're like, man, went to a fair, sold one book, traveled 14 hours, sold three, you know, and I'm like, all right, I want to be a part of that narrative changing. And I know that because I know they write fantastic books and I don't want this to be the reason why they don't succeed is because the people that know them well or had a chance to help them did not try. And I'm not going to say because I'm trying we automatically win, but damn it, we should try.
We should try. And I feel like you're setting such a good precedent too. So it's just like, kind of like how you point to certain indie books in your store, like slight plug, we are the origin. You know, it's also really nice as an author to be able to tell other people who are considering, because you know, there's a ton of people who are like, oh, I want to open a bookstore. Mm-hmm. Or even, you know, situations where people ask if they're not familiar, like, hey, we've never had an author event before, you know, to be able to point and be like, hey, this is how Resist Booksellers does it. This is how I have experienced it. You know, if you are going to do this, this is like the mold. This is the template that I recommend that you look at, because I'm not going to lie, you know, when I did the event last year where up in Virginia, and they didn't have, you know, my books for the event, it was so, I can't even tell you how I felt when you came through. You were like, hey, these are the books from Resist. Like, we have them in stock. It's totally fine, because, you know, that alone completely turned that entire event around for me. Because as an author, it's really, I don't want to say disheartening, it's almost hurtful to plan to go to an event and, you know, you put money into it and you travel and you're excited about it, and then you get there and, you know, you speak on a panel and, you know, people want to meet you, but there are no books for you to sell.
Yeah, you know, they're shaking your hand, right?
Right, because, you know, there's a lot to be said about impulse. There's a lot to be said about, I have it, I'm going to go ahead and get it. I'm going to go ahead and spend this $20, right?
I will say I have zero control at book events. Like, I don't ever filter my purchases. Like, if I go, I know I'm spending money.
Like, and I'll go, if you like a panel. I don't
even know this author. They did a really good talk. I guess I'm buying their book. And I might buy two. Right? So it's, if you don't have that, it, then you have helped me not spend, because I'm going to buy it. I'm like, I don't want the person to sit there and take these 20 books home. I'm going to purchase one. That little kid over there who wrote their children's book, damn it, I'm going to support the children. And, you know, this lady, she wrote her first book at 70 years old. I'm buying one. I'm buying two. You know, so to not have the book is hard. Because I would imagine every person came there with the intention that I'm probably going to buy some books today, and I'm ready for that. And if it's not there, then lost opportunity.
It's a lost opportunity, because the thing is, a lot of people, A, are not going to go home and then purchase the book after the high of the event has worn off. That's thing number one. But also, you know, thing number two, it's just kind of like, when you're there, that impulse as an author, that's how people also remember you, you know, that's how you get a chance. And it's just kind of like, I know that there are situations where things happen beyond control. UPS, Ingram Spark. Look, if you're an indie author and you ain't never dealt with Ingram Spark, I love that for you. It's frustrating. It can be a frustrating experience, especially
Ingram
when you're
terrible
indie.
For us, to be honest. We have a top 10 of publishers and distributors that we work with. Ingram is number 9 or 10. Every time.
Oh, yeah, because Ingram is, they're slow. And unless you have a book that is regularly in high demand, it takes them a really long time to print and ship your books. And if you're not getting them in large quantities, and I'm talking like a crate or two at a time, it takes them a super long time to print and ship your books. So it can make planning for things really difficult. So free advice, if you are an indie author listening to this, and you have an event or you're getting ready to publish, and you're going through Ingram Spark to print your books, you need to order your books at least 6 weeks in advance if you want them on time. At least 6 weeks. Do not think that you can place that order 2 weeks, because they will lie to you on their website. They will lie. They will say that, hey, it takes about 10 days to print. If you want to pay an extra, you know, fee, we can print it in 3 days, and then it'll take another, you know, week for shipping. And in your mind, you'll do that math and you'll be like, oh, that's like a week. That's plenty of time. It's not. They lie to you.
Let me give you the bookseller flavor on that too. I will have an event that I've planned for 2 months in advance. I'm like, 2 months is plenty of time. Ingram takes their money from us, at least up front.
Mm-hmm.
So I will order your book for an event 2 months away. 2 months in advance, they took my money.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be the week before the event, and I'm sitting here sweating like, I got this person coming in. They're confirming. I done got cake and balloons, and it's going to be a party, and I don't have the books.
Yep.
The whole point of bringing you in was to have people experience your book. And here's where they got some nerve, too. I follow them on social media. Ingram uses robotic shelving to move books around. So when they say they get ready to pack a box, this shelf comes from section 28 over there to bring the books to the packer. And you mean to tell me all this technology and they still are the slowest in the business? Penguin is great. Simon & Schuster is all right. Harper's amazing. And then we get down the line, I'm like, you know what? My local grocery store is faster. The dry cleaners is faster. The dude that cuts my grass is faster. Everybody has faster customer service. And you can't get a hold of Ingram.
No.
With a person on the phone to save your life. When you email them, they email you back when they want to, and they never have the answer back. They're asking another question. Like, yo, that was a week ago. I'm 2 weeks from my event. Now I'm 1 week and I got to answer another question. Most likely you won't answer until after the event. I can't stand Ingram, but that's where I get a lot of my independent authors from. The small presses go through Ingram for their distribution. All of my like university presses are through there. I can't avoid Ingram unless I create my own Ingram, which I ain't got that money yet. If I'd have won that billion, you'd have been good. You wouldn't have to deal with them no more. But I didn't win. I'm here as a thousandaire in front of you, like we're not making these billions, but we're going to figure this thing out because they are not great for this exchange.
They're not. I mean, there are a lot of things that I have considered on my path of doing what I'm doing with Written in Melanin, with the Melanin Library. At one point, I wanted to be a publisher because there are so many authors still who don't fully understand the process, don't know how to get from, okay, I wrote a book to how do I get this book out in a way that I would be proud of, with the quality that I would like, you know, to, you know, being frustrated with Ingram. Because if you guys have been listening to the podcast or have been tuned into what I've been doing for a while, then you'll know that for the release of We Are the Origin, I was like distraught because Ingram lost 2 crates of my books. They sent them to the wrong state. And I had like over 70 pre-orders that I had to send out. And I ordered the books in enough time, but they never updated my address from when I moved, and they sent the books to Texas, and I tried to intercept, and it didn't happen. I got like maybe 10 books, I guess, when I needed 70 of them. And it was just like crazy. So the day of the release came around and I was like, whatever, I'll just order a book from Amazon because, you know, I also set it up through there. And they were like, hey, we have them in stock. And I was like, I'll just pre-order my own book from Amazon. Right. That way it'll at least get here on time, right? And there were other people posting about the book, about having it and being excited to read it. And I had never held a physical copy in my hand. And my first like real novel. And it was just, it was heartbreaking and dealing with them and then going back and forth. And they were like, hey, well, the books got sent back to us and, you know, we destroy them. And I was like, don't destroy them, just send them to me because this was your fault in the first place. And having to deal with all of that. And it's a hassle. It's a hassle. So like from both ends, it sounds like Ingram is terrible, but it's also one of those things where if you want your book included in bookstores, if you want your book included in libraries, you have to deal with them because people are not going to buy your book if it's from Amazon. Amazon has a wide distribution option. A bookstore is not going to buy your book from Amazon because it's not in their benefit. No. So
I need authors to know that. Like, so I mean, let's go through it because I feel like my soul and spirit is saying we got to talk about this. When you're an independent author, you do a lot of your own walking and talking of your book. You may come through email or you may come in the store. Here's 2 things I need for each and every one of you to not do ever. Don't do it. Don't tell me like this will transform your store. This will blow your customers away. Don't oversell it like that.
Oh, wow.
Because one thing you're kind of telling me like, you don't know what you're doing. You know, like you got these big gaps and clearly the book that I have in my hand is the one, right? You don't have the Neo of books. Stop. Don't do that.
The Neo of books.
Don't do that. Right. Your book is not that great, right? It's great, but it's don't make it where you stand above and beyond every book ever in here. I don't care what genre you're in. There's a great that you're not greater than.
Yeah.
Let's do that. I can enjoy a good book. My customers enjoy good books. Sometimes they don't even enjoy great, good books because they just want the freedom to just read something that's kind of crazy and kooky.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is don't ever tell me that I got to get your book from Amazon. Non-starter, never going to do it. And that also tells me that you don't know my business. So if you're coming in as an author, you got to kind of have a little bit of an understanding. This podcast would help a little bit of understanding of how independent bookstores work. Amazon is our complete enemy. Like there's no way around it. I'm more friendly with Barnes & Noble and Books A Million because they at least hire local people, right? Mm-hmm. They at least are in my community. They're doing things for teachers in the area. They're not my enemy. Amazon is the enemy. Amazon's trying to undercut me. They don't support indies. Barnes & Noble and Books A Million does in some cases. There's no friendship between Amazon and us. So to make it where that's the way I got to do it, I got to support and put money in the pocket of my enemy is a non-starter. Just don't do it. If you can't do it where your book is from you, Ingram, heck, even some other small publisher, then it's not going to work. Then now at that point, I can't really support. I can't even put you in the indie author fair. Because one of the questions we have is, who are you distributed through? If it's you personally, golden. That's actually probably the best profit margin for you, I would think. But if you say, hey, the only place you can get a book is Amazon, I can't have you promoting Amazon in my store. It just doesn't work. So keep those things in mind, too, when you're approaching bookstores as far as getting your book in the store, promoted by the store, whatever. The one other thing I would do, and this is not a not don't do, but make sure you are good at doing, is describing your own book.
That part.
If it takes you 30 minutes to explain the book, you've lost me at 10 seconds. Like, you should have that.
Elevator pitch.
Go to Chelsea's post. I'm going to tell you on TikTok, I have fallen in love with the little, not all that nice. It's catchy. I know what the book is about. And then when I read the book, I was like, damn it, if she didn't give me exactly the sauce what this book is about. If you can't do that about your book, how am I, as the bookseller, going to do it just with somebody else? I got to read your book to describe your book that you want me to sell? That doesn't work. So just have the pitch. And it shouldn't be long. Don't give me the, you know, when I was divorcing from my wife, you know, I sat down and said that I want to do something with my life after that. And I spent 6 months and blah, blah, blah. And then I started writing. But then I put the book down. And then the book came to me later on in life. And, you know, 30 years later, I'm starting to write the book again. And for sure, it was trash. So I put it in the garbage and then I wrote another book. And this is what you got. You got this book right here. And it's a good book. It's a good book about my life. That doesn't tell me anything about the book. It doesn't tell me about how anybody's going to connect with this. And why do I need to know about you divorcing your wife? Is it crucial to the book? Is this book called I Divorced My Wife and Now I'm a New Man? Like, is that the name of your book? Because if you're doing a sci-fi and it has nothing to do with this, you have already lost me and I won't ever listen to your emails. You're going on blocked. I don't want to see this. Okay. Get better about your book. You wrote it. You should have that. That should be like, wrote book, check. Next thing, know how to describe my book. I'm not trying to tell you how to write. I'm not a writer. Know how to write, know how to talk about your book.
And I'm going to second that because one of the things that I tell people all the time. And if you, the slight plug, if you want to know how I come up with the things to advertise my books, I have a whole Patreon post about it. I have a whole video about it on my Patreon. So sign up, $3 gets you in and you can get it on the breakdown of how to make a log line for your book. Because for We Are the Origin, it's about a group of assassins who have to work together to save the gods in their realm from destruction. One sentence. That's it. You know, We Are Dying Gods is the second book in a trilogy about a group of assassins who have to work together to save the gods and their realm from destruction. You know, be able to tell people what your book is about before their eyes glaze over and never, ever, 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 ever assume that anyone actually cares how long it took you to create it. I don't really actually care. Nobody does. Because it sounds like you're asking for pity. Like, I worked really hard on this. Please send me my participation trophy. No.
No, I'm not doing it.
So that being said, this conversation has been great. Demetrius, if you're up to it, there are a couple more things that I do want to ask you. So if you're up for like a small part two,
yeah, I can do it.
All right. So you guys heard it here. We are going to do a small part two segment. So stay tuned for that. But assuming that for whatever reason that the people are not going to pick up on this, can you let them know where to find you?
Well, first, thank you for having us on. My name is Demetrius Frazier, Resist Booksellers. I'm the owner, and you can find me at the store. That's the first place, 233 North Sycamore Street in Petersburg, Virginia. On social, you can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and I think that's it for now. We offer the bird. So RESIST _BKS on TikTok and Instagram, but without the underscore on Facebook. So it's Resist BKS on Facebook.
All right. And you guys know that I will have a link in the show notes or, you know, the description box if you're watching this on YouTube. And yeah, that is it for this episode of the Written in Melanin podcast, you guys. If you'd like to support this podcast, then please share it with someone that you think may enjoy it. Join the Patreon at patreon.com/writteninmelanin or grab a copy of my books from my website, cmlockhart.com. Or in this case, you can also go to Resist Booksellers and get it from there as well. There are links in the show notes for everything, and thank you guys again so much for listening. Until next time, I hope all your books are full of melanin.